Friends, allies, and Americans, welcome to the Defense of Democracy podcast, where we tell the stories of folks who defend your children's rights by advocating for inclusive public school systems and who fight for diversity across our nation. I'm your host, Karen Swoboda. Let's get into it. Welcome, everyone, to the Defense of Democracy podcast. It is my pleasure today to welcome Erin Reed to today's show. It is an honor to have her on. She has been incredibly busy doing a lot of good work. Erin, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
You can be honest about that.
Okay. Definitely extremely busy with all of the legislation, the ways in which trans people are targeted. You know, the work never stops, and it feels like there's a lot out there.
There's a lot going on, and it is exhausting. It's exhausting physically, but emotionally, it's just so draining because there are some real losses that have been out there. And sometimes it feels like the fight, I mean, this is me speaking, but sometimes it feels like the fight can't be won. So I have to, you know, encourage, how do you encourage yourself, you know, when things get really tough?
Yeah, you know, so part of what I do is I'm here to tell our stories. I'm here to document what's going on. I'm here to make sure that the people who are affected have a voice. I'm here to make sure that the ways in which the trans and the queer community are targeted do not go unnoticed. And I look for the wins. I do. And whenever I find them, I make sure to hold on to those, because I do think that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice eventually. And I see signs of hope in, you know, in our youth and our future. And so those are the things that I hold on to, even whenever things get tough.
I think that's important, you know, just to look around and see, you know, other people kind of stepping up, because someone like you speaking out so vocally and publicly gives others courage to say, oh my gosh, I'm not all by myself in this. So I tell you what, why don't you tell me, Defense of Democracy is mostly focused on the school system and the effect, you know, on the censorship of books and the attack on marginalized community and queer and trans kids. Can you tell me, you know, what you've seen in the country as you're traveling around with children in schools?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have seen a broad spectrum attack on trans kids, on LGBTQ kids, on teachers who are queer. And these attacks are, they're far reaching. You know, we have seen bans on bathrooms for transgender youth, as well as trans teachers. We've seen bans on books that have LGBTQ topics in them. We've seen ways in which queer and trans youth are targeted for the way that they dress. In Mississippi, in fact, we had a trans girl forced to not wear a gown at graduation, and so she was not allowed to walk on the stage. Meanwhile, the very next day, you know, a cisgender girl who is gender nonconforming was not allowed to wear the slacks and dress shirt that people wear during graduation. And so, you know, these bills, they target not just trans and queer youth, they target anybody that challenges the sort of very patriarchal gender binary that that's being promoted.
And sometimes I look at that and I'm like, you know, that the reason they're starting there is because that's the easy target, right? That's well, first of all, kids, but you know, just the trans community is not the biggest community, right? It's the weakest link, and then it builds up from there. You know, so you think about, you know, what is fascism and, you know, what are the steps toward genocide, right? Like you start with, what do they call it? You know, marginalizing, but, you know, really just kind of making them the other. And it just seems, and I, you know, because of the fact that there are so many kids out there and it's so hard as it is, and you're in a weak space when you're somebody who looks different, you know, that it becomes a real crisis. So it's heartbreaking, and the parents of those kids are just as broken because it's almost impossible to protect them.
Yeah, no, you're entirely correct about that. And you know, it is hard. It is hard as a parent, especially if you're in, you know, some of the much more difficult states like Texas, where if you're the parent of a trans kid there, you've already come under threat for having your child taken from you just for being trans. We saw whenever Greg Abbott directed people to investigate and Ken Paxton directed people to investigate the parents of trans youth in 2022. And while that was blocked in court, parents are scared to stand up. They, you know, if there's a new anti-trans law now in Texas, if you're the parent of a trans kid, like if you go and stand up against that law, you could be personally targeted. Your child's safety could be at risk. And so we saw organizations like PFLAG step in to stand up for them. And we then saw Attorney General Ken Paxton subpoena to try to get their membership rolls because they want to scare PFLAG from being able to stand up. They don't want anybody to be able to stand up against the laws.
Absolutely. Yes. And it works in a sense because it is scary. And what I found is that people are afraid to speak out. And, you know, having someone like you who is like, okay, this is going to be my job now. You know, I am now going to be as loud as I possibly can. But it's so important because I've seen it myself too. You know, we're just starting out as an organization. But what I have told my volunteers, and when we go out and to speak in front of school boards or to speak in front of city councils or the legislature or any place like that, if one person stands up, because there is more good than bad in this country, that I believe, just like you said, we're bending toward the arc of justice, that that will encourage other people to speak up, and it just takes the beginning of it.
Well, and I want to actually highlight that, you know, you said that you're going to city council meetings and school boards, and I think that those are some of the most important places that you can be active. We saw this with like the whole Moms for Liberty movement back in 2021, where they essentially managed to get anti-trans candidates in local offices and school boards and city councils and anti-LGBTQ candidates as well. And the importance of mentioning that is that, you know, that is where policy meets reality. Like is at those, at that local level, that's where things are actually enacted. That's where all of these state laws end up rubber meeting the road. And so, you know, if you are electing anti-trans and anti-queer candidates at the local level, even in a blue quote-unquote safe state, we've seen negative policy. We just saw in Nassau County in New York the banning of trans people from sports facilities. And this is in New York. This is in a very blue state.
People don't know about that. And by people, I mean myself. I didn't know that. And I live in New York.
Yeah.
That they have just had. Wow.
The Attorney General of New York is suing them or is threatening them to reverse their policy. Now this is going to go into courts in New York. And it's blatantly discriminatory. It's probably going to be overturned because New York laws are pretty good on this issue. But like, this is what we're seeing. And there are other counties in New York that are looking at doing the same. Meanwhile, same thing in California. You know, This is not something that is, you know, I think people have this perception that anti-trans laws are, and anti-queer laws and anti-LGBTQ laws are this thing that's just happening far away in some red state far away from you. But if you're in a blue state, like you cannot sit and think that you can't take action, that you can't go and speak to your local school boards, that you can't be engaged in this process. Because the truth is, if you elect anti-queer candidates at the local level, it doesn't matter what the top level laws are, they can make life hard, and they yeah. try to.
And I often talk about privilege on the show, okay, and myself being, you know, white, straight, Christian, and how important it is for people like myself. And I want everybody who's listening to this show, we have a lot of good people who fall into that category, how important it is for you to use your voice and your privilege to speak on behalf of whenever you see evil happening, right? And that is an obligation that we now have. We cannot any longer put our heads in the sand and say, it's not going to affect me. And again, in myself speaking from someone who lives in New York, and people don't realize that what, you know, and this is just my opinion, but I see a targeting of like red dots in blue states of trying to incrementally affect and to chip away at the foundation of democracy, which is ultimately the foundation of our country.
Yeah. And let me actually even sort of give the converse of that. We are also seeing in red states, blue districts that are saying no, we are not going to, we're not going to enact your anti-trans, anti-queer, hateful policies. And in fact, in Virginia, where Governor Glenn Youngkin has essentially used an old law that was designed to protect trans and queer and LGBTQ people to say that all schools have to discriminate against trans people, we saw, you know, a good dozen school districts in Virginia, including the largest school districts in Virginia, basically tell Governor Youngkin, no, like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to block our trans students from using the bathroom. We're not going to forcibly out them to their parents. And we're seeing, like, resistance there at the local level.
Yes. And I mean, that's all part of, you know, encouraging that and supporting that and giving people an outlet to speak out and to do that. So what, Erin, tell me what, oh, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No. So, like, I guess the only thing that I'm saying is that, you know, I think the other thing that it does is, you know, there are people, and I think understandably so, that are disillusioned by some of, like, the national political fights because they feel like they can never make a difference there because they feel like sometimes it's very far removed from where they're at. And I tend to find that encouraging people to act locally, encouraging people to look at your local candidates, encouraging people to see where they can make an impact in local races helps actually build that political engagement. It helps people realize that, like, even if they have personal feelings about the inaction of our national representatives, the inaction of national office holders, they know that they can still make a voice, like, make a difference with their voice in that local city council race, in that local school board race. And I think that, you know, it's a very important thing to bring up.
And it's doable. And at this point in time right now, it can still be done, right? We still have the power to create these changes. There is still hope and there's a lot of it. Erin, tell me what you have on the horizon for yourself. Like, what you're doing a lot, but what is, you know, what's coming up for you over the next few months that you're working on?
Yeah, so for the next few months, I'm going to be mainly looking at state legislatures and the bills that are moving their way through the ranks. There are still some really heinous bills that we're seeing. State legislatures should be open until around May, whenever most of them will adjourn. And then around May, I'm going to be switching to election coverage primarily because I'm going to be watching elections across the country. We're going to see candidates that are making big statements on LGBTQ issues. And, you know, then we've got a presidential election coming up. And that one is going to be a very busy one for me because we do have the case where, you know, a Donald Trump presidency would be disastrous for trans people. It would. And we know that because he has indicated that he is going to target trans people, quote unquote, at any age. He's indicated that he would go after hormone therapy manufacturers. And this could, you know, result in significant supply disruptions for trans people across the United States and even globally.
Yeah, it terrifies me on so many levels, especially as a mom of kids. And I have 7 kids and 4 of them are in the queer community. But honestly, even if I didn't, you know, if they were all, like, it should terrify every parent right now that's a possibility, a realistic possibility. I mean, there's hope there, but we have a madman running for president again. And we saw what could happen. And he's the front runner. And this is, it just shocks me sometimes that we've come to this point. But we're here.
And that's why I think, so that's going to be a big part of what I do. Because it's looking like the Republican Party is making this one of their primary issues. Trans people is one of the things that they are focusing more time on than anything else. And so whenever we do get into June, July, August, all the way until the November elections, this is going to be in the news. It's going to be in the news a lot. And, you know, voices like mine and the people who I platform, the people who I tell stories about, the people who I write about, are going to be very important to have a voice in that fight.
Erin, during every show, I do something called a volunteer shout out, and I highlight one of our volunteers. So I'm going to take a moment right now to talk about one of my favorite volunteers. I think she really fits in with this work or this that we're talking about with this discussion. Diana Patton is a transgender Navy veteran who has been the commander of Veterans Defending Democracy for the past 2 years. And what are and this group has really blossomed into something incredibly important. Our veterans group counteracts the co-opting of the word patriotism. And these are veterans from every walk of life, who are speaking up and saying, this isn't what we fought for and what we joined, the service for our country, because what we're seeing is not right. And we're standing up for our Constitution. And Diana herself has actually traveled around the country to meet with our volunteers, to give them courage, to give them hope. So Diana, I just want to tell you, we love you. We love all the work that you've done for us, and deeply appreciative of what you're doing. And, you know, this is one of the reasons here I am talking to Erin Reed, who's this game changer across the country as well. So thank you. And thank you, Erin, again, for being on the show. Now, speaking of stories, tell me a story. Do you have a story about something that you were able to, that you saw that gave you courage and hope that keeps you going?
Yeah. I think one of my favorite stories to tell that, like, I've always held on to, and it's one of those things that made me realize that there is hope here and that we do have a future, is that sometime last year, there was a young trans girl, or a 17-year-old trans girl in Louisiana. And I'm from Louisiana. I grew up in Louisiana. I remember my teenage years in this rural area of Louisiana that I grew up in. It was hard. You know, I was bullied heavily for my mannerisms, who I was, and more. And I remember how difficult that was 20 years ago. And so this trans girl, 17 years old, messages me and says, "Hey, Erin, I'm from Louisiana. I really love the work that you do. I go to this high school," and it was a high school that was 20 minutes away from where I grew up, also very rural area. And then she said, "And I just wanted to let you know, I was nominated to the homecoming court." And, you know, I cried because that was big. That was that, like, to know that there's a young trans girl who is not only accepted by her school, by her peers, but celebrated, loved. Like, there's pictures of her dad driving her around the football stadium as she's sitting in the back of the car all dressed up. And, like, that's how we change things. That really is. That whenever I see that, whenever I see the young queer youth activists under 26 years old, Queer Youth Assemble, lead the biggest trans day visibility marches in history last year, that's how we change things. And so that's what gives me hope. Those are the stories that give me hope. And anytime I hear a story like that, I feel happy to be able to continue on.
Well, Erin, I want to thank you for joining the podcast, but I especially want to thank you for the good work that you're doing, in championing the trans community and really raising awareness about what we can and should be doing. Is there anything you want to add before we conclude the show?
Keep an eye out on your local races. That's where so much difference can be made. We just watched in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and Loudoun County, Virginia, Moms for Liberty got swept. Nationally, they lost 70% of their races in 2023. This is not something that they can win on. This is all they have. This is all they have to offer, is attacks on trans and queer people. And honestly, people want more. People want their representatives to do good in their lives. And so just keep it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to speaking with you again and seeing more good work that you're doing as the days go forward. Thanks for listening to the Defense of Democracy podcast. If you like what you've heard, you can find out more at defenseofdemocracy.org. Please consider becoming a support partner by texting the letters DOFD, that's Defense OF Democracy, to 44321. Stay strong and remember, there is more good than bad out there, and you're standing on the right side of history.